But 54-year-old female having triple bypass surgery is unheard of and not good. So, you know, it's just tough roller coaster of emotions on that aspect of it. But I know your listening audience is a praying audience, and I could use it.
Yes, sir.
But you know, said I wasn't going to do this. I don't believe that the good. Now, let me tell you about the blockage, Mick, real quick.
Okay.
She has two blockages, 99% blockage, and the Widowmaker is one of them. My wife should have been dead. The doctor told her yesterday, he says, you're on borrowed time. But I don't believe that my God would allow my wife to get to the hospital and to get in this surgery if she wasn't going to be okay.
Yeah.
But it's tough. But your audience prays, and I need it. And I told that doctor, I gotta keep it laughing sometimes, man. And I get my emotions on me right here now, but I told that doctor when he come in this morning, I said, I just need to know something. And he said, what's that? I said, what kind of grades did you make in school?
You wanted his resume and his credentials.
And he said, well, I want to tell you something. 50% of the doctors in that class were in the bottom 50% of the class. And he said, you just don't want that crap. I said, okay, thank you. But I got a great doctor over there with her man, and thank you for letting me share it, because
let me ask you this. I got about two or three questions, and I know you got to go. I know you got to get back up in there and do all that.
No, she's in there for 6 hours, brother. I've got time.
What is a time frame where we'll know, and what kind of recovery frame? What's the next few weeks or months? Like what will you be going through there?
All right, so bypass is now. She'll get out today. She'll be under anesthesia all day today. She'll come out of that sometime this evening and into tomorrow. They will have her up and walking tomorrow. They will only let her walk. Well, she'll be in the hospital for about 5 days. They will only let her walk for the next 30 days, roughly, they told us. And then after that, they will allow her to lift 10 pounds because they have to break the breastbone and go in there. After 30 days, she'll get about a 10-pound weightlifting max, and then after 60 days, it'll go to 25 pounds, and in 12 weeks, she'll have full clearance to do whatever she wants to do. They want her exercising. She took a dance class with my daughter this year. She'll be able to do that again. No restrictions. They want her in the gym and all that after 12 weeks. So, you know, the good part is that she turns 55 in November. And I'll be able to hopefully be able to plan a birthday party instead of be planning a funeral.
No,
and it's just a good thing. God's been all there's. It's so much more to this story than what I've told you in this short time. For signs that God has been in this along the way, we had some insurance issues with medications and things like that that got rectified last week. And if they hadn't have been rectified, a lot of this bill would have been on me. But it all got rectified last week. And we didn't know, we know now, but she's in there today. I've actually left for just a little bit. There's nothing that I can do. She's back there in surgery. So I'm coming home to grab something to eat right quick and, clear my head a little bit. And, then I'll get back there to talk to the doctors, but then she's out of it for the rest of the day for the most part, but long road ahead, but I'm thankful that we get to try to figure it out.
No doubt.
Rather than the alternative.
Long road's better than a short road, no doubt about that. Hey, what do you guys need anything today? Y'all need anything this week?
Nah, man, we're good. We're good. Just prayers. That's why I called you. Didn't want to take up you. I know you talk sports, but I want to say something. You, Faxon Show, I hadn't heard Qualk in a couple of days, but and Walt, y'all just give me something to listen to in the hospital, and I appreciate it. You guys are fantastic.
Well, let's say we divert, man. We divert. I'll tell you this.
Oh, yeah.
When I got the text the other day, it's the first time in my life that I've ever said a prayer of, please help out, and I use your name, Scott, in this, but I've never used this phrase before, his smoking hot wife. Because
there you go.
He's referred to her for years as my smoking hot wife. So I don't even know your wife's name. I don't need to know your wife's name, but it's easy for me to know this, that Scott's smoking hot wife is on the prayer list. We got people checking in now.
Yep.
And people are praying, and we'll do it. And you, I will lean on you to give us updates, and I'll lean on you to tell us whatever you guys, whatever, how we can help in any way.
You got it, brother. Her name is Michelle. Her grandkids call her Seashell. And my nephew couldn't say Michelle, Aunt Michelle, when he was younger, and he said Seashell, and so it just kind of stuck. So the grandkids call her Seashell. So, anyway, she's going to be okay, we believe. Just could use all the prayers. You know, the funny thing is I was sitting there last night thinking, I said, boy, it sure would be nice to talk to James the truck driver because he's always so positive.
That's right.
You know, so anyway, take care, man. Thank you for all you do and appreciate the prayers. And we're going to try to get to the next stage of this thing.
No doubt.
Thank you for giving me some time this morning.
No doubt. Keep us up to date, okay?
I will, bud. Thank you.
Thank you for sure. Text line flooding, playing for Michelle right now. I still prefer to say pray for Scott smoking hot wife. But Michelle,
praying for
it is.
Seashell.
No doubt. We'll continue to do that for sure. How about that, man? That's where, point like, that's what we do. It's like we divert because like people have this going on in their lives, and this is happening all around you, and everybody's got something, and this is obviously a big case there, but that's what life is, and so that's what sports plays the role, and so that's what we'll try to do. But, man, that's our Roar family will pray for his smoking hot wife, Michelle.
Absolutely.
Short break. We'll come back much more to this.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page
and ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com.
Our great friends at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. All right. You okay? Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Chris and Ben and all the great folks at Blue Ridge do an incredible job for you. And the fact of the matter is that right now it's hot. Have y'all noticed? I don't know if anybody knows that it's hot. I hope that your HVAC unit is working and working great. And these good folks are doing an incredible job for you. If it's not, let them tune this thing up. Or if you need a new unit, the Armstrong unit, the Arctiflex unit, they'll do an incredible job for you there. It's our great friends at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Ask about their Tiger Tune-Up Special. Ask about their mold detection unit, the Air Guard, and let's get better quality of air in your home anytime you need it. The best in HVAC is BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports fans.
Does your AC run nonstop, yet your home never feels comfortable? If rooms are too hot or too cold, and your attic feels like an oven, the problem may be above your ceiling. At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we help homeowners take control with blown-in insulation and solar attic fans. Blown-in insulation fills gaps, while solar attic fans push heat out and ease strain on your HVAC system. You may qualify for up to a $1,050 Duke Energy rebate. Call Koala Insulation today at 864-867-1779.
I'm here with Jeannie Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Jeannie, this Medicare caller says she has so many options, she doesn't know where to start. What would you tell her?
Hello, listener. If you're turning 65...
Take care of you. Patterson Tax Service does an incredible job. We love what they do and how they do it. PATTX.com, PatTax.com. Forming LLCs, if you are... First of all, I know guys that have... I don't know if what's the most you can have for LLCs, but they got multiple LLCs, and so... you're starting a new business, you're moving a certain kind of business, you want to make sure you're in the right LLC. They'll take care of all that for you. The tax planning, man, they do a great job of that. The experienced tax pros there to prepare those. And that's sales tax and use tax and hospitality tax, a lot on there. And then, preparing your corporate or nonprofit or estate and trust returns, all the bookkeeping assets and liabilities for monthly tracking, the payroll services, they do it all at the Patterson Tax Service. Put it to bed. 864-859-8289. Some great friends at Patterson Tax Service. I wanted to get this in here in this segment. There's really there's multiple kinds of quarterbacks in the league in college football. And I, no matter what, we're talking about Vecina. Vecina's not an all-purpose guy. He's not a dual-threat guy by any stretch. And I don't know how it's going to work out. But I think with that type of quarterback, the more of the pocket passing guy. I think it's a fairly simple. Let's see if I'm right saying this. It's easier to project. And maybe because we have fewer of those guys now. We have more dual threat guys now. And don't get me wrong, I never really considered Klubnik a dual threat guy, and everybody missed on him. Nussmeier last year was not a dual threat guy, and everybody missed on him too. So my point is you can miss on the pocket guys. But my other point is because there's such a wide variety of skill sets with some of these athletic quarterbacks, these dual threat guys, then it makes the projection or the ability to miss the projection more difficult. Does that make any sense? Like, for Gunnar Stockton, I've got to know, is Gunnar Stockton, how's he going to do in the pocket? How's he going to do the processing? How's the arm talent? How's the leadership? How's the physical toughness? How's the mental toughness? That, when I add into a Lenore Sellers, I've got all that, and then how's his decision making out of the pocket? How's his running? How can he make you miss? Can he, you know, is he willing to tuck it and run a little more now? Like, I've got to add a whole nother deal in there. So my point is that I think that the evaluation or the ability to miss, as those number of quarterbacks grow, then that we can miss. And so does that make sense?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
Because my point is this, and maybe Arch is a dual threat quarterback guy. I think Arch is. I think we missed on Arch last year. Arch got better as the season went on, but Arch Manning was not what we thought he was going to be. And because his running is such a big part of it. I mean, he had 10 rushing touchdowns last year. Arch Manning did. I missed on Simpson. I missed on Ty Simpson last year, but he was a pocket guy, so you could miss on those guys. Mateer early in the season before he got hurt to Oklahoma was one way. And he was different late in the season. No one saw Chambliss being the guy there. But, like, Marcel Reed is a great example. And there are times where Marcel Reed looks like a Heisman Trophy candidate. And then there are times where Marcel Reed looks like he can't throw it in the ocean. And that's for a guy who threw for 3,100 yards last year and 25 touchdowns, but he also threw 12 picks. Like, Marcel Reed is such a good athlete, but there are times in there where against LSU last year, he rushed for 108 yards and two touchdowns, and it was a nice 49-25 win, but he was 12 of 21 for 202 yards, two touchdowns, and two picks. I mean, Marcel Reed last year, look no farther than the South Carolina game. He only had 7 carries for 13 yards and no touchdowns. In the first half, Marcel Reed looked lost. Threw 2 picks and looked lost. In the second half, he threw for 439 yards and 3 touchdowns. So it's 2 completely different halves. I think that's difficult against Texas last year. Let me put it like this. In the last 2 games of the season last year, Marshall Reed went 45 of 62 for 417 yards, no touchdowns, and 4 picks. If Marshall Reed goes no touchdown, 4 picks in the 2 biggest games this year, they'll lose those games. The major big picture point I'm trying to make here is that when you've got the Marshall Reeds of the world, it is extremely difficult to project. This time last year, we were making plans for Lenore Sellers to go to New York City for the Heisman Trophy presentation. The same guy last year that had, and as the season progressed, 2,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, 8 picks, and 5 rushing touchdowns. He accounted for 18 touchdowns. We thought it was going to be 40, and he accounted for 18. The same guy that at times last year, let's say Missouri, 18 of 28, 302 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. But what if I'd also told you in that game against Missouri last year in a loss, they had 10 carries for minus 28 yards and no rushing touchdowns. That guy? Lenora Sellers? Last year against, it's hard to pick out a great game that he had, but the first half against A&M. You know, for the game, 246 yards, two touchdowns, one pick, and 12 carries, 28 yards. But then the same guy just looking awful against, say, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 16 to 30, 180 yards passing, one touchdown, two picks, 15 carries, minus 17 yards. Against Ole Miss last year, total offense, 163 yards, one touchdown, two picks. Lenora Sellers last year, we thought it was going to be this run machine like he did against Clemson, ending things up. Lenora Sellers last year, let me give you some rushing yards. Against Vanderbilt, three carries, minus 3 yards. He got hurt in that one. Against Missouri, 10 carries, minus 28 yards. It's a terrible offensive line. Against Oklahoma, 14 carries, 9 yards. Minus 9 yards, I'm sorry. Against Oklahoma last year, he had a total of 115 total yards. He was 17 of 25. They scored 7 points. 17 of 25 for 124 yards, one touchdown, no picks, 14 carries, minus 9 yards, no touchdowns. He had 115 yards of total offense against Oklahoma. A Heisman candidate in the preseason. He had minus 17 yards against Ole Miss rushing. He had 2 yards rushing against Clemson. But he threw for 381 against a bad secondary. My point is, no one had Lenora Sellers doing that. So my next question is, how do I know what Byron Brown at Auburn's going to do? My next question is, like, how did I know? And these are guys we've already seen in college football. Austin Simmons at Missouri, I think there's a chance Austin Simmons, they've got a bunch of guys coming back. Austin Simmons can be great. The Kamario Taylor at Mississippi State. Kevin Minchie at Kentucky, the Notre Dame guy. I mean, there are chances that these guys can be amazing. C.J. Bailey's done it a little bit more, and so I have a little bit of confidence in C.J. Bailey because I've kind of seen him. But there are times where C.J. Bailey looks great, and there are times where C.J. Bailey looks terrible. And the California kid, look all up and down college football, and there's a lot of these quarterbacks, these long, they're 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", guys now, long-legged, athletic as can be, and yet those are guys that could throw for 400 and rush for 150 and have 6 touchdowns, but there's also guys that the very next week can get you beat too. So I think that's fun watching. It's fun watching C.J. Baylor play quarterback. Until you're an NC State fan, then you got to watch him just blow up and lose games. Make it any sense, Avery, through this?
Yeah, do we really need to have a certain idea of what to expect from these guys? Like, I know that's kind of our job to figure out what to expect from
them. It's hard.
You even mentioned how you were wrong.
Totally
about
wrong.
These. And I was, too, about some of these guys. Like, Sellers, a dual threat, known for his legs, tear it up kind of guy, had 1, 2, 3 games of minus rushing yards.
Yeah.
What kind of – does he lose his dual threat title because of that?
Yeah. And he wasn't willing to run it. He was protecting himself for NFL and all that. But let me give you this. How's NC State going to do, Mickey? How's my Wolfpack going to do? Well, let's see. C.J. Bailey last year in a win against East Carolina went 24-34 for 318 yards. A touchdown, a pick. He ran for a touchdown, ran 21 yards. Yeah, man, yeah. Against Duke last year, 29-39, 364 yards. 2 touchdowns, but 3 picks. Let me give you this one. Against Georgia Tech last year, C.J. Bailey, 24-32, 340 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 34 yards rushing and a touchdown. C.J. Bailey's a great football player. He is? Because against Notre Dame, 17-30 for 186 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 picks, 9 carries, minus 14 yards. Are you going to get the C.J. Bailey that played against Georgia Tech? Or are you going to get the C.J. Bailey that played against Notre Dame? And some will say, well, the defense Notre Dame is better, and that's true. But which C.J. Bailey are you getting? The one against Miami that went 17 of 30 for 120 yards passing, no touchdowns and 2 picks, and 11 yards rushing? Or are you going to get the one that throws for 364 against Duke, that rushes for two touchdowns against Virginia and 44 yards rushing? The one that throws for 337 against Campbell. Now, Campbell, I can explain that. He throws for 340 against Georgia Tech with no picks. So how do you know what you're going to get, is my point. And there's a lot of them out there, man. There's a lot of those guys that are one game, even one series, or one play, man. That guy, you got to prepare for that guy. And then the very next series looks like he's never picked one up before. That's what's hard about this job and about this industry and about what you've got. Imagine if you're a coach. Imagine if you're a coach, you know, and you're telling the guy, hey, here's what I'm coaching to do. And then one play, you look like, yeah, it's sunk in. It's great. It's like being a parent. Times where I look at my kids, and I go, they've got it. What we're saying, they're getting it. Go look at my son. Go hug his little sister and kiss her and love her. Man, this is a family. We love this. And then the very next second, he's throwing a soccer ball hitting her face. Like, what? How did you do that? Man, it's got to be hard as a coach. Got to be hard.
You got to be able to adapt.
Yeah.
Ebbs and flows.
Text makes a good point. Bailey's elite against average competition. Yeah, that all those things magnify. All of your strengths magnify against lesser competition. All your weaknesses magnify against better competition. But with that said, I'm talking about even in games, halves. Marcel Reed, first half Marcel Reed against South Carolina will get you beat all day long. Second half Marcel Reed will win the Heisman Trophy. How do you know? How do you know?
Coaches have to set a standard for their players and play the Heisman version of Marcel Reed for four quarters instead of one half.
Tough, though. It's tough. And you know you're not coaching them to do the dumb stuff and do the bad stuff. No one's coaching the interception play. No one calls, hey, let's call the interception play today. No one's calling that. Short break. One more open phone line segment before Paul Strehler right after this.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, Gold Glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch Willie Mays style and goes into the wall.
For every pitch from March to October, we are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball. Right here on The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority, 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar, where every day is game day.
The companies that have great videos, when you go to their website and you introduce that site and you see these awesome videos, these awesome shots, and you can tell when it's well written, when it's well videographed, if that's the right word. They can. It's the videography is professional. You can tell when that happens. Now, on the other side of it, the ones that don't have the video, or they bury it so deep because they didn't do it right and they didn't hire the right company or whatever. Let's don't be that. Let's accentuate your company. Let's tell your story. Let's do it with Double Dog Video. We did it here at the station. Double Dog Video. Take the Double Dog Dare. That is, if you don't like your video, they'll give it. You give it back. They'll give you your money back. No one's ever done that. We love it. It's DoubleDogVideo.com.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
Think back to the last time that you actually felt good in your own skin. I'm not talking about just acceptable or, you know, this is nice. I'm talking about really good, like full of energy and comfortable and brimming with confidence when you...
Listen, and Avery and Ashby, thank you so much. And that's what 4991 says, gets in on our Adams Grovey text line. Great pool. They were Pearl Jam. So, yes, Eddie Vedder's in the... house band doing a great job. Hey, Carolina Flooring Specialist, your garage floor can look amazing. We are in the honeydew section of the calendar. We are in the putting in equity part of the calendar right now. What I mean by that is you're going to be taking a bunch of withdrawals in football season where your wife's going to say, are you ever going to rake the leaves? You know, well, I don't know, man. Stanford and Cal game's on. So what you combat that is you go ahead and you do the equity now. You build your equity now. Okay? Honeydew stuff. Get your garage floor done. And then when you clean your garage, it makes you feel so much better about it. We love it. Carolina Flooring Specialists is the most advanced, most experienced team out there with the best products out there with garage floors. Your garage floor company is Carolina Flooring Specialists, 404-8158. Just add value to your home. Make it more functional. Carolina Flooring Specialists, a great garage floor. Ashby, did you hear you were doing technical things there? Did you hear any of the talks about dual threat quarterbacks and how hard it is? Marcel Reed, one half to the next. Lenora Sellers, one year to the next. Like, all these guys, did you get into that conversation at all? Why it's so difficult?
I heard the discourse.
Do you agree with that? Like, it's harder to tell. Like, a Gunnar Stockton, a success or not a success, and where he is in his career and his arc and his development, it's a little bit easier. You add that dual threat aspect, and it's whole nother aspect. Like, how good are you at that? When do you run, when you don't run? Like, it's just more complicated, and I think it's easier to miss. Fair or not?
Totally. But also, if you're any kind of competent defensive coordinator at all, if a guy was a really good dual threat quarterback in, you know, year one, whatever, you're going to do everything in your power to make sure he's not a dual threat quarterback against your team in year two, right? So I think it's a lot harder to be successful in that way once you already kind of establish yourself as that, because people are going to be trying to shut it down. Now, the very best ones, it doesn't matter. You know, Lamar Jackson is still going to be able to run crazy on you, even if people know he's going to do it. But once you have a dual threat moniker attached, I think people get ready for that and know you're going to take off.
One of the things when I first started doing this show, and this is where, like, Randall Cunningham and these guys are making it, we used to do this. It was almost like it was a race thing. Like, a black quarterback's a dual threat quarterback, a white quarterback's a pocket quarterback. And, like, that's what it's, I was like, no. I mean, if you look at it, like, Kevin Jennings last year at SMU had four rushing touchdowns, had 264 yards rushing, or 200 yards rushing and four touchdowns. Arch Manning, 10 rushing touchdowns and 400 yards. So we don't do that anymore. We would say even, like, tall guys and short guys. Like, the short guys had to be the short guys, like Joe Hamilton, had mm-hmm. to put more air underneath the ball at the line of scrimmage. But Joe Hamilton was a better deep ball passer as a result. Well, now, the way we move the pockets and the way how we get rid of it earlier, height is an issue, don't get me wrong, and release point's an issue, but it's not like we have we could categorize. We stereotype those guys. Well, that's the tall quarterback. He's the great pocket guy. He's going to throw the ball across the middle, whereas the short quarterback can't do this. We did that, like I said, with black and white guys. We did it with seniors and freshmen, and then all of a sudden Tim Tebow comes in as a freshman and lights it up, or Tommy Frazier that lights it up. So we didn't – all those stereotypes, now we've got so much more access and so much more data, all those kind of go away. With that said, it's still – in all the analytics that we have, how do you account for the one that kind of got me was the Bama quarterback before
Jalen Milroe.
Jalen Milroe would drive you crazy.
Yes.
Tools. There's tools everywhere. But from not game to game, not even quarter to quarter, half to half, from drive to drive or play to play, mm-hmm. it looked unstoppable at times. And other times it looked like, this guy can't get out of his own way.
Mm-hmm.
Arch last year was that way.
Lenoris at times.
Lenoris last year was a. If you're a Gamecock fan, and if you're honest with yourself, this time last year, you were just coming off of Lenoris Sellers, and you're coming off the Clemson game, and you're saying to yourself, "Man, we've got our guy. This guy's going to be amazing." The way he diced up the arch rival. This time last year, you were coming off of 13 of 21 for 164 yards, no touchdowns, one pick against Clemson, but 18 carries for 166 yards and two touchdowns. A guy that as a sophomore, or in that freshman season, I should say, rushed for 674 yards and seven touchdowns against Clemson. Again, 166 and two touchdowns rushing against A&M, 106 yards rushing. Like, this guy's going to run the ball. We're going to be great. Last year, Lenore Sellers ran the football for 270 yards and five touchdowns. No one had that on the bingo card. Mm-mm. You're going into the season thinking, this is our marquee homegrown quarterback, Heisman candidate, and he was the 14th best quarterback in the SEC, maybe. How do you account for that? Like, that's just tough. Very difficult.
Very difficult.
Imagine if you're a coach having to do all that. All right. Let me get to our Adams and Cove text line 654 Roar. By the way, you can join us on our Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. And I do thank all those that got in touch with us about Scott and his smoking hot wife and prayers for her and her triple bypass today. Praying that doctors and support staff and nurses and all those people take care of her for sure. Text said, how did Doug Flutie do it? And that's the short quarterback deal. Flutie was not known as a great intermediate passer. And the reason is that even though we have, think about this, like that's a little bit hard to analyze too, in that you have passing windows and the guys can slide in a pocket and find a window to throw it to. But Flutie was not going to throw it through a 6'7 defensive end. He's not going to throw it, you know, through the guy. You got to throw it over the guy there. But even then, even a 6'6 guy, where he releases it, if the guys, Trevor Lawrence still had balls batted down the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. So it's an instinct. It's finding that window, finding that instinct, finding that sliding a little bit, holding it a little bit longer, or getting rid of it earlier. On a slant route, if I got a defensive end that I know is going to be active over there, get his hands up. First, the offensive line's got to punch him in the chest to get his hands down. But secondly, or where we cut his legs, whatever, on that slant to take care of that. But secondly, if I could throw it, if I'm throwing a slant to the right and I'm worried about the right defensive end, the timing of it, I throw it early before that, or I throw it a little bit later on the left-hand side of it, fitting that in there, knowing where that blitz is coming from, all that's in there. All that's to be – that's a natural instinct kind of a thing sometimes. You coach it, you teach it, but in a game, it's weird to say. I would say I was worried about Vecina after the spring game 2 years ago because he had a couple of those slants that were batted down. I'm like, man, the feel of when to – And that's where Trent Pyramid looked better mm-hmm. on those slants.
What part of being a good quarterback, no matter what kind of a quarterback you are, is feel? I think it's
a lot of
a lot, man. Like having that kind of awareness yeah. and knowing when you have time and when you don't, and when you need to throw it out of bounds, and when you need to get it to somebody quick. All that stuff that defies the stereotypes to me. Like those are non-negotiables, no matter if you're Lamar Jackson or Trevor Lawrence or whoever.
Yeah.
Christopher Messina.
Yeah.
It's an instinct thing.
You use the word awareness. I would say instincts. I never use awareness. So I need to use awareness more. But in that case, it's a feel. When we analyze quarterbacks, there's 100 different attributes we look for. I still maintain that mental toughness and physical toughness are the top two. Leadership's in there. Awareness is in there. The processing that quick from that pre-snap process to the post-snap process and what we're doing defensively to try to trick you, all that's in there. And then it's arm talent and then it's legs and all those kind of things. And you know, the NFL now, the big thing is making plays after the play breaks down because the play's always going to break down. And so the Mahomes throwing it underhand or side-armed or off the jumping in the air to doing it off the back foot, all that. So that's why they like all that.
But that's elite. Like that's you don't elite. Have to have that to
no,
be a good
not at college. Not at college level.
No.
Well, with that said, still, of all of those, and whether it's Milroe who can't throw it in the ocean and was a great runner, or whether it's Julian Sayin who's a more accurate passer, more of a pocket guy, I still think the top three to me would be mental toughness, physical toughness, and processing. All right, processing is pretty self-explanatory. I mean, we are doing everything we can to confuse a quarterback now. And so how quick can you make that decision? The physical toughness, you are going to take a beating. They are going to try to hit you over and over again. And if you cower down to that, then you won't be successful. But the number one thing is, and this is what Trevor was so good at, and this is what Deshaun was so good at, is the mental toughness. I'm going to go into A&M, into the national championship game, into the Jerry's World against Notre Dame, whatever it's going to be. We're going into a pit, and the moment's not going to be too big for me. And I'm going to mentally be the toughest guy that's good. There wouldn't be nothing that I can't handle mentally, and I'm not going to back down from it, and I'm going to lead through all that. That's, to me, the number one thing as a quarterback.
I think accuracy's up there, too.
Accuracy is. Fitting in windows. Small windows is. But I want a mentally tough quarterback. It's not going to back down from the moment, He's not going to share that. Not going to shred through all that. All right, hour three. Paul Strelo kicks out right after this.
WCCPFM 105.5 Clemson, Carrie Anderson, WAHDAM 1560, Scott Red, and your
the end of road rage. We're streaming live no matter where you are in the world.
Download the Roar app today.
Ingles does an absolutely amazing job with the curbside pickup, all right? This is easy. If you are busy, and I know a lot of you are right now, go online, select what you want, go in, pay for it online, and then to go pick it up, and you're in and you're out. Now, some people, you like being in Ingles. I like being in Ingles. I like going to get my Starbucks, and I go over to the fruits and vegetables. I go to the deli stuff. I go to the salad bar stuff, and I go to the bakery. Then I go back over to the breads and get my chips. I know where everything is, my drinks. I like going in, and I have time a lot of times. Sometimes I don't, though. That's where they can make it easy for you. Curbside service with your Ingles Advantage card. Fill up with gas and gas and go, man. Do like NASCAR guys, gas and go. You're going to love Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. Again, tools for school. School starts next week. Get involved with those good folks as well. But remember now, as we enter another great last day of July and first of August and tailgating and all that coming up, remember our great friends at Ingles.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone!
The Roar.
No one ever wants to deal with roof trouble, but when it happens, it's comforting to know who to call.